Magic 105.4.
Well, I'm delighted to say a very big welcome to Donny Osmond, back to Magic again. How are you?
Nice to be back, Jamie. Very good, very good.
Excellent. And you've been all over the country, I believe.
You name it, I've been there. Just working working quite a bit. It's better to be busy than bored, I say, you know.
That's very true. Yeah. How long are you in the UK for?
Well, we start at Wembley this week, and then we continue on till the end of the month. So it's a big national tour.
It's not the first time you've been at Wembley, though, is it?
This will be the very first time.
I am so excited.
Yeah, we start getting this show all ready, and the band just arrived, and it's a full multimedia presentation. It's probably one of the biggest shows I've ever put together. It's four huge screens on stage, and a little tribute to my brothers up there, and some pictures that have never been seen before, and some footage that...
Are we delving inside the Osmond photo
album? The archives, yeah. I got into the archives. But just reliving the memories, you know. As a matter of fact, I love going back to the 70s anyway, because that was the height of what they called Osmond Mania. But this current record called Love Songs of the 70s, I went back and chose, you know, 12 of my favorite songs of the 70s and re-recorded them my way, as if they were my songs. But I had so much fun doing this. So the whole show is about reliving the memories and enjoying the decade of the 80s.
And there are, of course, some...
The decade of the 70s.
And there are, of course, some great songs on this album. Certainly one of my favourites, How Deep Is Your Love.
Yeah.
A fantastic song.
Tough one to sing, Jamie, because it's such a signature sound with the Bee Gees. Because I didn't want to sing like that, you know? You know, like Barry did.
Yeah.
But so you have to interpret it your own way. That's the danger and the challenge of doing an album like this. You're taking classic songs and redoing them. You don't want to go too far from the original because that's what people fall in love with, but you don't want to do a facsimile of the song. You've got to make it your own.
It's not a facsimile of love.
Oh, nice. Don't love me for fun, girl. We're going to do that in concert, too.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, I love it. You say there, obviously, I mean, How Deep Is Your Love? It was also covered by Take That. And you work with Gary Barlow.
Gary, yeah, good mate of mine. Oh, I sound British now. Good mate of mine.
And we drink down the pub all
exactly.
the time.
Elliot Kennedy and Gary Barlow produced two of my albums and had the time of my life. Because Gary and I sat down, we just, you know, compared notes as to what it's like to be on stage with all the screaming going on, and had the greatest time working together.
And this record, is it songs that mean something to you personally? I mean, do you remember these songs from when you were younger?
Absolutely, and that's the reason why I chose these. Jamie, I started out with a list of at least 200 songs of ones that I wanted to record. Can you imagine how hard it was just to cross those off? Because,
yeah.
You know, each one brings back great memories. So each one has a special meaning.
There's 13 songs on the album. I'd love to know what was number 14.
Well, let's see. It's been so long since I put it together, I can't remember. Oh, you know what it was? You are the sunshine of my life.
Ooh.
I wanted to do that, recorded it, and it just didn't make the cut. So it's sitting on a shelf someplace.
Maybe for the next one.
I don't know. I don't think it'll ever see the light of day.
Ooh.
I had fun recording it, so it was a little self-indulgence there. But I decided, no, it's just been overdone way too much. I even told Stevie I was going to do one of his songs on the record, and didn't. But it was a fun song to record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, listen, I mean, it's almost like a full circle for you. Isn't it? I mean, 40 years you've been in the business. I don't.
Yeah, 45, but who's counting? You know, I started when I was 5.
I was being kind, you know.
Well, thank you. No, I don't hold back in saying that I'm pushing 50 this year, you know, because it's been a wild ride, Jamie. You know, ever since I did that first show at 5 years old, it's been a roller coaster, and sometimes been great, sometimes not so great.
What was that like, you know, living your childhood in stardom?
I didn't know anything other than that. You know, I was always. On a teen magazine cover, you know, ever since I was like 12 or 13 years old, always on television. The things I would say ended up in print. So eventually you're just kind of careful with what you say. You always feel like you're in a fishbowl. So your private time is very, very precious to you. So it's a strange world to grow up in. But I really didn't know any other world.
Do you think it was a different world to how it is today? I mean, you've got stars who are hitting fame early on, like Brittany. And you know, we've seen what's happened to her recently.
Oh, yeah, but Jamie, you know, when you think about it and you analyze it, it's the different faces, same game. Mm. Yeah, it really, popularity is popularity. But, you know, the the odds of something happening to you are quicker nowadays because there's so many media outlets. The dangers are greater nowadays of overexposure, but it really is the same old game.
And do you think your early popularity sort of caused a bit of a lull in your popularity in your later 20s,
well, yeah, I think so.
I suppose?
I think it's very, very probable that a height of a popularity is going to eventually fall. You know, everything that goes up must come down. And with the type of career that I had, you know, the predominantly teeny bopper and weeny bopper kind of adulation when I was like 12 and 13 years old, that eventually goes away and goes away hard. Mm. It drops to rock bottom. And then you have to start working your way back. And that was one of the hardest times of my life. But as I look back, the best times of my life, because now that it's all happening again and there's, you know, it's not Osmomania like it used to be, nor would I really want it that way. But I'm enjoying my career now more than I've ever in my life.
You must still have fans screaming like they used to.
We're going to find out at Wembley.
you're all set for the bombarding of knickers and bras.
Bring it on, baby!
This is something I was doing a little bit of research, yeah. and I saw that Michael Jackson gave you some advice. Well, you know, in those sort of barren years,
yeah.
Didn't he say change your name?
He did, actually. I was, and I can't remember the exact situation we were in, but he needed a ride over to his producer's place, Quincy Jones's place, and I said, "Well, I got my car here. I'll give you a ride." So I took the opportunity during that half hour, 45-minute drive to say, okay, Thriller is just about to come out. You just enjoyed all kinds of success with Off the Wall. What do I need to do to do the same? And he said, change your name. And I said, you know, you should change your clothes. And I think he thought I said nose. But I'm not sure. I could say that because I know Mike.
Oh, dear. And how is he doing? Do you still know him?
Oh, it's been probably a year since I've spoken with him, but it's tough to see a friend go through what he's gone through. But, you know, we all have to be accountable for the decisions that we make, and he's made some strange decisions. But I only wish the best for him, and I think that if he could really get his act together and pay attention to his music and not just the image of everything. This is so weird for me to be saying this because that's exactly what Peter Gabriel told me in the late 80s.
And Peter was, of course, the one that turned it around for you.
Yeah, helped turn things around. He said, don't worry about image. Make the music good. And I think that's what Mike needs to do. You know, get back in the studio, concentrate on his image. Don't worry about everything else. And I think the public, by and large, are very forgiving, although some pretty serious allegations against him. It'll haunt him for the rest of his life. But come on, let's all face it. He's a musical genius.
Absolutely. And I think Back to Basics is good all round.
Well, that's what I had
finding.
To do. Grassroots, you know, that's the term I lived by. And I had to start over. And you can't live on your laurels. I mean, now I can. I mean, at Wembley, I'm going to do Puppy Love. I'm going to do all the oldies, One Bad Apple, Sweet and Innocent, all those. And it's fine for me to go back and rest on those laurels now because there's new stuff that has come out over the years.
How old were you when you did Puppy Love?
I was 13, maybe.
Wow.
13 or 14.
And do you not find it difficult? I mean, your voice must have, I mean, it has obviously changed
since then. Yeah, it broke back then, yeah.
But how are you sort of going about singing that song now?
A couple octaves lower.
Yeah, that was a little bit obvious. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I do? I mean, I don't want to give the whole show away, but I pretty much go out there and say, "Hey, everybody, look. You know, I'm pushing 50, and I'm still singing Puppy Love. What's wrong with this picture?" So I said, "You know, I've tried to do many different versions and renditions of Puppy Love. I do a country version. I do a Barry White sexy version, you know, and they called it Puppy Love.
Nice.
And then a Blackpoolian, very cheesy kind of version. And then I say, you know, there's only one way to sing Puppy Love. And they called it. And I go into the real version of it.
Wow.
And it goes over really well.
I can well imagine. Now, during those sort of off years, which I don't like to call them off years.
Oh, but they were.
I mean,
we'll call
periods.
It the way it was, yeah.
But this is just it. They weren't off years. You have been so successful, you know, without the music. Pyramid, for a start. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw that. Didn't you take part in Fear Factor?
Yes, absolutely. And I have a new show running right now on the BBC Two, is Identity. So things have really turned around a lot. But in the 80s, yes, they were the dry years, so to speak, the lean years of trying to reinvent myself. And that's the key phrase. You got to keep reinventing yourself.
I've got to very quickly ask you before we do leave about... I forgot what it was called, actually.
Princess Diana concert.
That's right.
Jamie, when I walked out on the stage, first of all, I was backstage left with Andrew Lloyd Webber and the new Joseph Lee Mead. And Jason Donovan was there as well, the other Joseph. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good fun. I walk out on there on stage, and yeah, there'll be quite a few people out there. But I wasn't prepared for the shock, the emotional, the mental shock, and just the sheer number of people that I saw when I walked out there on the stage. And the reaction that I got was phenomenal. And then afterwards, realizing almost a billion people were watching me. It's probably the biggest show, the most widely watched show I've ever done in my life. But having said that, I had the time of my life. It was so much fun.
And you could see it up on stage as well. I mean, all three of you, when you all did it yourself, Lee,
that was a moment I'll remember for the rest of my life. And I'm sure Lee Mead and Jason Donovan are going to remember that the rest of their lives as well.
Well, Lee had only been in the part for about 3 weeks.
If that.
Yeah.
You know? So what a jump start for Lee.
Yeah, everything now is just so easy for him.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. No, that's the thing about show business, you know? You always have to find something new, something different, something exciting, something fresh. And having said that, my brothers and I got together and we decided after 27 years of not touring the UK, we're going to tour the UK again. Maybe not put on the old white jumpsuits again, but
oh, go on.
No, we're going to do One Bad Apple and Down by the Lazy River and definitely Crazy Horses. I think we should open the show with Crazy Horses. But whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a fun tour. It's going to be a tour of living memories, not just for us, but for the audience as well. I can hardly wait. That's going to happen in May. And all the information is on livenation.co.uk or on my site, donny.com. You can find out all the information.
Well, I wish you all the very best with it. And, you know, with the reunion, I really do hope that goes fantastically well.
Thanks, Jamie.
I don't need to wish you luck. It's going to be absolutely sad.
Oh, you always need a little luck in this business, but...
I hate to bring it up, but I know my mum is going to be there.
Oh, good, good. So I hope she is.
My dad is locking her underwear drawer already.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Jamie.
Cheers. Thanks for coming.
All right.
This is Magic 105.4.